From the backstretch at Saratoga, this is Loose on the Lead with Steve Bick and Seth Merrill. Loose on the Lead is sponsored by...
Good morning and welcome to Loose on the Lead on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrow in the studio and my partner Steve Bick on the road down at Colonial Downs for a couple of days doing the radio show. Steve, good morning. We miss you.
That's so nice of you to say, Seth. let's be honest. Nobody misses me. It's you get me via the magic of the internet.
The technology allows us to pull you in. That will make people certainly very happy. I said it to you on the radio show the other day. It's fun to be up here at Saratoga because our core audience is right there across on the front side. When I go by, people are constantly, hey, like the TV show. But probably about a quarter to 50% of the people bring you up. Steve, oh man, Sunday mornings, they're a big Steve Bick fan. So I will pass it on by proxy through me. They are also given thumbs up to you as well. So just wanted to pass on the fans. Miss you as well.
Very kind. I appreciate it. Everybody always asks me about you. That's everywhere I go. In California, boy, it must be unbelievable to work with Seth Merrow. And I say it is. It is. He's my straight man. And you know what? Mentioning a straight man, we should pay tribute right now. Jackie Mason died yesterday, and I was lucky enough to see his show on Broadway, The World According to Me. It was hysterical, and a great, great old-school Borscht Belt comedian, gone at 93.
Yeah, he had to be one of those guys probably in the day. He was a Catskills guy, I would imagine.
I kind of lost your audio there, Seth.
I said probably in the day he was a Catskills guy. Right.
Oh, big time. Of course. Absolutely. He's really the last of the Borscht Belt comedians.
Yeah. Well, I said people miss you, but I want to start out by acknowledging the end of the day yesterday. The people who follow you were very, very happy, as they have been. We have you and Anthony Stabile as our Play of the Day people. We pulled you in this year, and thank goodness we did, because you are red hot. It has been a great start, up 3 for 5, I believe. But we're going to take a look at yesterday's Play of the Day from Mr. Steve Bick. He said play the 10 in the finale, race 11 at here at Saratoga yesterday. The 10 is Mike's Girl. It was a little dicey as they came under the wire, but when the photo was developed, it was Mike's Girl at $19. Steve, great call.
Thank you. I thought we were in huge trouble when she didn't break well. And to Jose Ortiz's credit, he let her settle for a second. Then he moved her up. He made one move, I guess, in the first quarter to gain some position. Then he sat comfortably, let her really settle into a nice beat on the backstretch, and then started to make the move and went from sixth to fifth to fourth to third on the turn. And then I saw her forge to the lead. And when Kara's Dreamer came at her, I thought that we were in trouble. When they hit the wire live, I thought, boy, this is really close. Then when they showed the replay immediately after, I realized, no, she would definitely won. This is that same opportunity, Seth, that I've been banging a drum on for a couple of years, more than a couple of years. New York breds long on the turf. Maiden specials, maiden claimers, allowances, stakes. It doesn't matter. These horses are so closely matched that you absolutely have to reach for prices every time. I mean, you looked at that favorite of Pletcher's. She was just okay. And there was nothing special that obliged you to, to accept 7 to 5 or 8 to 5 or whatever it was, maybe 2 to 1. You have to go reach for horses like this. 6-1, 8-1, 10-1, 12-1, and then look at the exotics. I mean, this is now four opportunities. We're averaging like $19 per opportunity. You've had three double-digit winners and one, I think, second choice. The Bond Horse was a second choice. But other than that, you're talking about huge tries and exactas and supers. Take your shots in these races. Long on the turf for the Statebreds pays off again. And very pleased for OTB customers and anybody else who came along. And frankly, Mike Skrull yesterday bailed me out. You know, it was a tough day yesterday with some of those crazy prices. So this was a nice end to the day yesterday.
Yeah, 8-1 over 17-1 over 49-1, and you have been beating that drum for a while. These are the kind of races where you can play around and find prices like that. Given the prices yesterday, there's a $250,000 plus pick six carryover today. People should keep that in mind. And again, I will reiterate, you are off to a red hot start, and we were texting back and forth yesterday and kind of figuring and looking, and given the number of times you will be in for the play of the day, one more winner. It's incredible. We're in the middle of week one and a half, and one more winner, really, for your play of the day, and you're guaranteed a positive ROI. So I will once again tip my cap to you to a great start with the play of the day for Capital OTB patrons.
I'll be here all meet. Tip your servers.
Very good. So, all right, let's go and move on to some of the other racing yesterday and get some opinions. Take a look first at the Coaching Club American Oaks. Malathat obviously is the 30 cents of the dollar favorite. We're going to watch the stretch run. The one comes into the stretch with Clairiere, who was kind of the logical contender, and you thought that would be the stretch battle. Then Malathat pulls away a little bit, but the Robitross trainee Maracuja makes a run on the outside. It is a ding-dong battle to the wire, but by a chart margin of a head, it's Maracuja as the longest price in the field of four at 14-1. Upsets the Coaching Club American Oaks and knocks the undefeated Malathat out of the undefeated column. What were your thoughts on the Coaching Club American Oaks yesterday?
Well, there was a couple of things in evidence here. Let's talk about Maracuja first as the deserving winner. Anybody that heard Paul Matisse on At the Races with me after the Derby weekend had to have the little earworm that she needed another chance and to put a line through her Kentucky Oaks. The trouble that she had justified an excuse. And Paul said, when she runs back, you better, you know, take a hard look. I actually didn't pay attention to that. And I just kind of, you know, acquiesced that Malathat, you know, would have things her way. And instead, she gets the starch kind of taken out of her. And, you know, you got to credit, I certainly, you know, certainly credit Clairiere and the approach to, you know, going ahead and trying to win it. But it leaves Malathat a little vulnerable late. And he ended up with, a 96 buyer, I think. So, you know, right in line with the right, you know, the right level for three-year-old fillies at this time of year. And congratulations to Rob Attriss. I mean, kind of regrouped after the Oaks. I mean, it's always disappointing, but didn't panic, didn't go running for, you know, some silly opportunity, had an eye on a prize, and ends up getting it. And that's what this game is about. And it also shows another thing. Nobody, and I understand we lost, you know, we lost those two McPeak horses, unfortunately, because of the herpes outbreak and the barn quarantine. But the rest of the people who think about nominating for stakes like this, pay the fee, get nominated. And when you hear the racing office call and say, you know, it only looks like we're going to have 5, 6, 7 horses, run your filly, run your horse. I mean, you'd never fear one horse, ever. It's just crazy. And that's the biggest frustration and disappointment. And yes, we've got a lot of three-year-old filly dirt races. I get that. And there's lots of other opportunities. This is a grade one. If your horse, you know, if you see it on the calendar and you think you've got a solid allowance filly with stake aspirations, nominate and run. You got a chance to get grade one black type that exponentially increases the value of your horse. That's the lesson here.
Yeah, that's a great point. The longest price of the short four-horse field. They took the shot, and now they got a grade one on the resume. A little bit later, it was the grade three Caress. I had Bruce Brown on yesterday, and we talked a little bit about Robin Sparkles. With the situation with the scratch that turned into the purse money only, it looked like Jakarta may go out and provide a little early company to Robin Sparkles. Didn't turn out that way, and I thought on the turn, she's in a great spot. Opened up a little bit on the turn. I thought Robin Sparkles might take him all the way, but wound up getting passed in the stretch by the horse that wound up to be the favorite. Robin Sparkles was the morning line favorite, but Caravelle winds up to be the even money favorite when the betting ends, and that one horse gets it done. Getting up just late to clip Robin Sparkles for the play spot was in good spirits, and Robin Sparkles third. But Caravelle gets it done for trainer Elizabeth Merriman. Now is heading to the barn of Graham Motion, as I understand it, as Elizabeth Merriman is a part owner, but Bobby Flay is bought in. So it was a nice win for Elizabeth Merriman as trainer and part owner to send the horse off now to the Graham Motion barn. Your thoughts on the Caress?
There were two horses to consider, and, you know, that was it, Robin Sparkles and Caravelle. And very happy for Lizzie Merriman. I look forward to having her on the show this week. And, you know, it's got to be a little frustrating. She has said all the right things. And don't forget, you know, she got paid handsomely. This is a filly that she bred, Caravelle. And nice, you know, to have somebody like Bobby Flay come in as a partner. I won't be surprised if Flay gives her a chance with other horses. You know, Lizzie Merriman and of course, her whole family. I mean, they're very prominent on the breeding and training side in the Mid-Atlantic. And, this is a very nice filly. I'm sure Graham Motion will go on nicely with her. There's not a lot to say. This division is, you know, a little interchangeable. She's, you know, going to be a major player, and see what Lizzie's got, you know, behind this one in terms of, you know, obviously got a mare win, you know, graded stakes and the like, and so it enhances the whole family's value. So, you know, I know a lot of people are feeling badly for Lizzie Merriman, but I think she's quite content, and there's more good things down the road.
Yeah, very good. Let's go back to Friday, watch the Lake George Grade 3 event on the grass. Technical analysis will get it done here at a $17 mutual. Fluffy Sox runs second. It was a Chad Brown exacta on Friday in the Lake George, a Chad Brown $170 exacta. And you add that into the 50-some dollar winner Chad had yesterday. For Chad Brown fans, it was a pretty good couple of days, Friday and Saturday, kicked off by this win by technical analysis on Friday in the Lake George. Your thoughts?
Well, this was the craziest thing ever. For this horse to be 7-1, it was nuts, absolutely nuts. And the Pletcher filly, they were going crazy for. Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank.
Jouster, the front runner.
They're betting Jouster. Jouster wasn't. It shouldn't have been in anybody's top four. There may not be an overlay in a stake like this the rest of the meet, the rest of the year. When we get to Labor Day, people are going to look back and they're going to say, "How did this horse go off at 7-1?" It was nuts. And the funny thing about this is, Nick Tamaro and I were texting back and forth because we both liked technical analysis. I picked her second because I thought that Brian Lynch's Toby's Heart, I thought, was going to be the better price of the two. And, you know, I thought maybe, you know, Toby's Heart might be 6-1, 7-1 in this range. So I picked her because I figured technical analysis was 4-1 morning line and would get bet down a little bit. So I was worried that she was like dead on the board, and I don't know what to say. This was, if you saw for those of you that follow me on Twitter, I couldn't resist putting out the tweet instead of "they knew." They didn't know. They didn't have a clue. This was glorious, frankly. I needed Toby's heart second for the best score, but hit the pick five on Friday, and technical analysis helped boost that up. This was to me the craziest result from a tote standpoint that I can remember at Saratoga in recent memory in a state.
Well, then I'll tell you, though, yesterday was sifting sands. The 28-1 though was far too high on that horse, clearly.
Yeah. Well, that's the beauty of a good size field. And it's funny because I was watching it with Tina yesterday and I said, Jesus, I said, I saw this sifting sands. I thought, well, this horse isn't impossible. So then when you make your analysis and you set up your plays, maybe it's a C. But then when you're watching the racing live and you're watching the tote board, this is where you make a move and you say, holy cow, how is this horse getting away at this price? But that's the beauty of a good sized field. And it's also this insane 5 days into the meet. Oh, Chad Brown's having a bad meet. Oh, Chad's not hot. Yeah. Something's wrong. Joke's on you. Chad's fine.
I did just what you said. I looked up at the board and I said 28-1. So I played a little double and got
it. Attaboy.
But that's one of those. Attaboy. I didn't have the horse in the mix, but you look up at the board when the odds are that crazy, take a little shot and you may wind up having a nice little score. Steve, we'll wrap it up. Jim Ryerson is in the green room, as it were. So we'll wrap it up and let you go. But tomorrow you'll be on the air from Colonial.
I will be on the air from Colonial. 3 hours of nonstop hilarity, and I'm sure there'll be some Jason Beam and some Jill Byrne and whatever else I come up with.
Alex Sauzeville is down there. The local guy made good from the Arizona program.
Alex has been, of course, on going back to his time at the University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. I'm looking forward to it. I've never been to Colonial. It looks beautiful. We're having a lovely time here in Williamsburg. Tina says hello to everybody. And good luck today. $258,000, our first pick six carryover of the meet. And I've got my analysis up at the website. And we'll see you Wednesday at the racetrack.
Sounds good. We'll see you then back here. Next week on Loose on the Lead. Enjoy the weekend.
Maybe.
Down
at Colonial.
I'm counting on it. So enjoy the weekend. Drive safely and hello back to Tina as well.
Well, Tina will have to drive safely because I lay there, in the passenger seat, napping and
You're living the life.
She does the driving.
You're living the life. All right, Steve. Appreciate it. Steve Bick. Again, live from Colonial Downs area where he's visiting this week, and you can catch him from Colonial tomorrow on the radio as well. All right, we'll take a break. As I say, in the green room, trainer Jim Ryerson has Mr. Marissa, who won the Dell Cap a couple weeks ago. We'll catch up on her. He also has a couple wins at the meet, so stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Stone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
But here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Baba. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the one.
Welcome back to Loose on the Lead on this Sunday morning. Happy to be joined now by trainer Jim Ryerson. Jim, good morning. Thanks for coming over.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you. Talk a little, as I say, a little bit of Miss Marissa a little bit later on. Nice winner of the Dell Cap. We'll delve into that, but I wanted to hit on a couple other things first. And first and foremost, as I drove in this morning, I thought I would ask you, as I drove in, it was kind of a steady little drizzle, and there was some showers that were off and on. I'm wondering, as a trainer, how or does this kind of morning change up what you do around the barn?
Well, over in Oklahoma, with the lack of shed rows, heavy rains make it real hard to cool horses out. And, you know, they stay wet, and so you got to try and work around that. Try and, you know, today we limited it a couple on how many went because it was we didn't really need to go with a couple of them. And you know, when the rain came, we canceled a couple of them. But occasionally that'll happen. But the lack of shed rows, you know, cooling everything out outside, you know, they're soaking wet. You know, it's a little hard.
Yeah. And so you're based across
yes,
the street.
Yes.
Give me your opinion, because they had the big refurbishment and just opened up a month or so before the meet, got everything back together. It was, I want to say, right after I was back there the last day of training in October, and you could see they were planning then to get things started with the change and the widening of the track. What your opinion of the refurbishment?
Well, Oklahoma, I've always enjoyed, you know, being stable, and I've always thought the racetrack was, you know, in a great spot, but it's become so popular.
Yeah.
It gets crowded, and, you know, especially in the springtime when they don't have the main track open, so to widen it was a great idea, you know, it was great, and you can really tell the difference, I think, down the backside, you know, how much wider it is. But it, you know, the more room you have, the better off,
yeah,
the safer it is for everybody, and it's good. It's good.
Yeah, it seemed to have gotten certainly good reviews from everybody I've talked to. All right, let's get into just the start of the meet. I pulled up a couple of winners. I have to be very pleased. I think if I looked at Equibase correctly, out of your first four or five, you've had two winners, and I'll let the guys in the control room go right back to back. Go back a couple of days. Dancing Kiki is going to be the number two horse here. We'll take a look at her. The day before that, it was the number one, Mommy's Jewel, both getting it done to kind of, as I say, kick off a nice start to the meet for you, and talk a little bit about how that feels to be, you know, a few days in and only a few starters and already have a couple of winners at Saratoga.
Well, yeah, it winning here is like winning nowhere else. Everybody notices it. And there's also, you know, the expectations from owners. It's tough to win here. So anytime you can get a horse to the winner's circle at Saratoga, it's a big deal. And here you see Dancing Kiki. I thought she ran even better than I could have hoped. I mean, she ran very big that day. And then Mommy's Jewel, he had only had the one start in the dirt the year prior, and it wasn't a bad race that day, so we elected to give him another chance. And also, you know, it helps you get in the next turf race that,
yeah,
comes along. So there's reasons that we ran it, you know, even if he were to get defeated that day, it would have helped us get in the next spot. So those are that's the reason we ran him that day, and we're lucky enough that they won.
So a win-win. You get the
right.
you move up
right.
to the next turf race.
Right. Right.
How do you make that decision when
well,
it's off the turf like
I mean, you know, with Patricia Generazzo, she knows the game. She knows how hard it is sometimes to get in a turf,
yeah,
race that, you know, overfills. So when you scratch, you get a bad date, and it's hard to get in. So sometimes you'll opt to do that. Now at Belmont, I 2 weeks prior, I didn't. But here, I just you don't know how if the races will split or if they're just going to keep one race together and it's going to overfill. So, and also the distance I thought might help them getting over the dirt versus the Belmont day, and also the track conditions. I thought the off going might help them also. So a lot played into that, but a lot of times it's just to help yourself get back in the next turf race.
Sometimes. Yeah, interesting. Those are both claiming races. You lost Dancing Kiki. You keep Mommy's Jewel, but talk about playing the claiming game a little bit. Will you be making some claims up here at Saratoga?
We'll probably make one or two. I mean, for the most part, I have young horses and develop young horses, but I have a couple clients that like to claim, and this is a great spot to try and find a horse. It's very competitive, and horses come from different, different venues. So you have a lot of Kentucky here that you're a lot more Kentucky. You even have horses from Maryland. So it's just a lot of mix of horses. It gives you some more options that at Belmont you may not see.
Sure. So again, that was a nice start to the meet with a couple of wins already. So congratulations there. But one of the reasons I also wanted to bring you in was to talk a little bit about Miss Marissa, because one of the kind of traditionally the big races for the older fillies and mares every year is the Del Cap down at Delaware. It was run a couple of weeks ago. We're going to take a look at the stretch run here. Miss Marissa is going to be the number six horse, easy to find because she was on the lead the whole way at a nice little $11 and change mutual. The big favorite was Bonnie South at 1-2. She winds up running fifth in here, but you had to be thrilled with this performance from Miss Marissa.
Oh, to win the Del Cap and the history of the Del Cap and the tradition, it's a great race. It's always been a great race. And this year, there's just so many filly and mare spots. It kind of may, and I guess it's similar to other years, but it just seemed to me like it thinned out some of the spots. And we caught Bonnie South, but she didn't run a race, and that can happen. And we had a race over the track. We've had a couple of wins going in at a mile and an eighth, so a mile and a quarter. You figure you have as good a chance as anybody, really, to do that.
You mentioned race over the track. You were second in the Obeah, right?
Right.
At the essentially the prep for this race. So was that the game plan the whole time? We'll go down, we'll get the prep in, and then head to the Del Cap.
Well, to my owner Alfonso, he was leaning that way, and we had, we were thinking maybe there or the Chuvie here, but it wasn't set in stone that we'd go that way. But with the race, that was a big help. And then you look at the money; it was $400,000, and
as you said, the
field
of the race.
And the history. Oh, it's a great race to win. Yeah. It really is.
So talk a little bit, A, how she came out of the race, and B, I'm guessing game plan, maybe personal ensign?
Well, she came out very good for, running a mile and a quarter. That's, you don't find many of them, and she came out very good. We brought her back to Belmont after that for a few days, and then she's been here maybe since a week after the race. She's been up here. So she came out very good. I'm real happy with that. And we're going to run in a personal ensign. We don't have really any other. We're not looking at any other options right now. We're just looking at the personal ensign.
And I know it's one race at a time and whatnot, but are you thinking, given what she's done so far, potentially Breeders' Cup Distaff?
No, we're definitely we're looking at that. We're taking one, as you say, one at a time, but. That's definitely something going. That was even something going into the year that we hoped that we could position ourselves. If she could improve off her three-year-old year, and I think, the two races to date. She had that one race early in the year, in the winter, but the three races this year have kind of put her in. I think in the ball game.
Yeah, and talk a little bit about her progression because I have the lifetime stats here. I mean, just her progression throughout her career, 2-3, 3-4. It does seem like she's been kind of on the improve the entire way. Last year, kind of moved through the season and then won the Black-Eyed Susan, which was, again, a little bit later in the year, given the situation last year. But it does seem like she's been on the improve throughout her career.
Yeah, I think early on I stretched her out two turns and here on the turf, and then I think the Dead Moselle at the end of the year. And she kind of disappointed me, but I think that was some equipment. I tied her tongue, or we experimented with a couple things. And since we stretched her out two turns after the pandemic, I mean, she's been a different horse. And I think she has one poor effort in a body of maybe seven or eight races. So she's really turned a corner going two turns, and she definitely seems like she. she's improved both physically, matured from 3 to 4, and I think her numbers are showing that she's a faster, better filly.
When you train, do you rely on numbers? Do you look at figures, and which figures do you use?
I'm not huge on numbers. It kind of like I thought she ran real well in the Obeya, and some of the numbers were high, and then the buyer was kind of low, and it was like, you know, it kind of made me wonder. But I thought she ran a very good race first time back, and she had good space, and then it's a question of could she get the mile and a quarter, and then, as you know, the old saying, pace makes the race. You know, when in that race particularly, the one horse kind of took back, and I mean, we had things our own way a little bit, going 50 and stuff like that. You know, she's going to be tough at a mile and eighth. She's going to be tough on a mile and a quarter. It wouldn't make much difference.
Is she a need for the lead type, or is she?
No,
just
she can run out a horse or two. She, in most of her races, but she, I think she wants, she doesn't want to be, she really doesn't want to be down inside. Covered up, nowhere to go with a slow pace.
Yeah.
She likes to kind of have that freedom to get into her flow and to kind of dictate. But that doesn't necessarily mean that she has to be in front.
I'm always curious. A horse like this, clearly very talented with her career record and money earnings and putting the Del Cap on the resume. But she was one that has improved steadily. But did you get, when she showed up in your barn at the beginning, do you get a sense of when a horse is special like this? Can you sense that early on?
Well, I think we knew she was nice, and then she had some qualities to her. And she came to the race. She got to the races quickly. You think, well, she would take her time. She's kind of like a one-paced router. No, she ran, I think, at 4.5 furlongs at Belmont and ran second, and came up here and sprinted well, and then finally when she went a mile. But you did know she had some quality. I think the two turns, though, and you don't get a lot of that at Belmont. And even in the winter times now at Aqueduct, sometimes you get a lot of one-turn miles, and you don't get really that much many chances to run two turns. And I think that she was like hanging 7/8, not finishing real strong, but again, pace makes the race. She just fits into a two-turn scenario much better, and she's improved much running two-turn races.
Yeah, we'll look forward to it, because that was, again, a really nice win in the Del Cap a couple weeks ago. We'll look forward to her coming back in the Personal Ensign, which is going to be a salty event. The waters get deeper, but off of this, she looked very good.
No, yeah, and you know that you're going to have to, going to have to face those horses now. I mean, now there aren't as many opportunities as there were 2 and 3 weeks ago, but now we're not even looking at that. What else is out there? Because to me, she's earned the right to try them.
Absolutely.
And she's won here before, and she's run fast here before as a 3-year-old, and she's going to have to run faster as a 4-year-old to win a race like that. But I think she's got a body of work that maybe thinks you have a chance of doing that.
Yeah, as I say, looking forward to her a little later in the meet. Always like to take a chance to, you know, when we're up here at Saratoga, get new fans that are watching and introduce them to some of the people behind the scenes that they can root for as the year goes along. And part of that, I like to just talk a little bit about how you got in the game. And for a long time, you were a Jersey guy. So talk a little bit about transitioning there. But how'd you get into the game?
Well, when I was 15 years old, my father, I'm looking for a summer job. My dad knew the local butcher, Jim Pascucci, and he knew some trainers came in, and I got... He lined me up with a fellow named Les Lear, who trained a horse called Seder. It was a good horse. And he was an ex-football player, Les was. And and I worked for him for 3 or 4 summers at Monmouth. And that's how I started. And, between going to college and back and forth in summers, I kept doing it at least part-time. And then eventually, in my early 20s, went full time with the racetrack. I never completed school, but college. But and then at that time, I went to work for John Tamara III.
Okay.
And and when I decided to get married, we were going to get married, I I felt that my wife probably wasn't going to be too welcome to going all across the East Coast. So I decided to go out on my own, and we basically lived in Monmouth County, you know, our whole lives, and we've, you know, had children and raised the children there, and I've either commuted or went to Florida for a few months and come to Saratoga for a couple of months, and they come visit me and stuff like that. They enjoy coming to Saratoga especially, and that's been my, you know, my life. I've done it like 40-some years
now. Yeah, as they say, folks remember you from a long time, Jersey, but you've been in New York for quite a while
yeah,
now, too.
And, yeah.
And you've kind of alluded to it already, but talk a little bit about Saratoga. You said how special it is to win and whatnot, but fold in a little bit. Last year as compared to this year and what it's been like the last few days, having a couple of winners and just having the fans back out.
Yeah, last year was not the same here. I mean, people asked me how was it, and the downtown, the only day that I remember anybody there downtown to the extent that they normally are, it was Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was so quiet, and it was not the same. Yesterday we had the autograph session as trainers, and the people pouring into the races, it was just unbelievable. It was just steady. It was great to see that again, and that's what Saratoga's all about. Big crowds. There aren't any venues that get the people out that Saratoga does, and that's great for this business. It's great for the community. It's great for, you know, and it's great for us as horsemen because we like people to come, and it gets our juices flowing. And you have a crowd and stuff like that.
I saw some pictures, but I'll let you fill me in because I didn't get a chance to go over. But the autograph session yesterday was for the Lustgarten Foundation, the benefits
right.
treatment of pancreatic cancer, in honor of Dominic Galluccio and the former trainer that passed away, unfortunately. But it was a good turnout.
No, they had a great turnout, and I think. We had more trainers, I think, show up than ever before, I think. We had a real good turnout. And the people are so appreciative of us coming. And Dominic was such a great guy. It's for a great cause.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, so that's good to see. That's part of what makes Saratoga, Saratoga, too. Those events like that, the Thoroughbred Aftercare event a couple of days ago as well. So. Jim, we really appreciate you taking your time. Congratulations on a great start to the meet with a couple of wins already, only a few days in. And we're looking forward to Miss Marissa coming back in the personal ensign.
Thank you for having me.
Jim Ryerson. All right, we'll take a break. Our friend Tim Wilkin will join us from the Albany Times Union. We'll talk a little of the meet so far and more. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
I'm Seth Merrill, and as serious horse players, we know that information is critical when placing a bet. With live streaming of more than 30 tracks, race replays, free past performances, and daily picks from professional handicappers, no one gives you more up-to-the-minute information than Capital OTB. Combine that with the best player awards in New York State, and you have everything a serious horse player needs to be successful.
Win more with Capital OTB.
Winning starts here.
Welcome back to Loose on the Lead. Seth Merrill live from our Clear Court set. And again, when we first got here this morning, there was a little drizzle in the air and whatnot, but it's cleared up now, and I think it's going to turn out to be a nice afternoon. So if you want to swing by, I think it's going to be a good afternoon to catch the races. Happy to be joined now by our friend Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times Union. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. And as you said, it was a little sprinkly when you came in here. When I came up here, it was pouring.
Well, Mormino said he had the flashers on as he came up the Northway.
Well, he's must have been a little scared, but it was kind of really kind of bad out. And you know, usually I get the golf cart for the tour of the Backstairs. I didn't even get that. I left that in the garage for out at Dale Roman's barn today, because today is not a golf cart day. But yeah, it was raining pretty hard, but it has cleared up pretty nicely. I think we're going to be okay, even though we won't have any turf racing.
No turf racing today, but there is a pick six carryover that folks can play into, so there will be some opportunities out there. Let's go back to yesterday and get your opinion on the Coaching Club American Oaks. We showed it earlier, but we'll replay the stretch run here. The upset from Maracuja, the Robitras trainee that gets it done by a chart margin of a head over Malathat. Top of the stretch, it'll be Malathat and Clairiere duking it out, but then Malathat pulls away a little bit and then has to engage Maracuja, and when they came under the wire, longest price of the four horses gets it done, as they say, for Robitras. What were your thoughts on the Coaching Club?
You know, Malathat ran lights out. I mean, she took the carrier's best shot, put her away, and then she had the other Maracuja running at her, and she almost hung on. But, you know, that's, you know, hats off to Maracuja. 14-1, first grade one for Rob and his crew. I was just over at the barn, and John Stackos, the managing partner of West Beach Thoroughbreds, he was over there. That's the only horse they got. That's the only horse they have right now. They've only been in the business for like 3 years, so they struck some gold with this one yesterday, and they say, you know, all systems go, we're going to the Alabama. And it would be nice to see if, you know, they hook up with Malathat again. I haven't talked to Todd, but I would assume that they will come back in the Alabama as well.
But, again, going to try to get Rob in here sooner rather than later.
He's over at the Horseshoe right now having breakfast.
Fairly new. Yeah, he said he was going down to Belmont this morning. I was trying to get him. I was trying to get him plugged in. But he said, we'll do, his wife is a graduate of the Darley Flying Star program.
Right.
So I'd like to have both of them in some morning, but congratulations to him putting the grade one on the resume. Also notable, we showed earlier the Lake George from Friday, Chad Exacta, and a $50 and some winner for Chad Brown yesterday. So folks were like, oh, Chad's off to a slow start. Yeah, not so much.
No, I mean, in the Lake George, that's the third straight time he's won that, fifth time overall. And I said the other day, that's got to get him a free ride on the Minnehaha. Doesn't it? I mean,
you would think, or
some beachfront property up at Lake George, because you know that's that was a horse that paid $17.
Yeah.
And, you know, and yesterday it was almost like the we're in the twilight zone of Saratoga, that 28-1 shot that won for Chad, and then the second horse was 26-1 by Shug. I mean, when's the last time you've had a Chad Brown Shug Exacta that paid $700 for a buck? That is just insane. Yeah. But, you know, somehow I think Chad is, you know, I'm sure he's smiling about that, but he doesn't like, these horses don't go off at those prices.
Those are not Chad Brown prices.
No.
The Saratoga crowd will get back into the groove, I'm sure, after a couple of winners like that get it done. Talk a little bit about, asked everybody in here over the past few days, and you and I and Mike McAdam and one or two other people as the meet progressed last year were in the auxiliary press box, which was the upstairs dining room, which had nobody in it but us last year. And unfortunately, we have moved back to the press box now. But it's still just a lot of fun to have the life back in the facility this year.
You know, it almost seems like yesterday, last year never happened. I mean, because, you know, it's we're back to what Saratoga is and always has been, and it just talking to trainers and jockeys and some owners, they appreciate the fans just so much, and the fact that they weren't there speaks volumes of what this meet is like this year. You can just I mean, you could just tell on opening day there was an air of expectation. And, you know, I think as we go on and we move forward, it's just going to get even more. When we hit August, because that's really when Saratoga really starts in August. I don't care what
anybody
says.
Even now.
Yes.
You're right.
People, it's the August place to be. Even though it is a summer place to be, and I love the fact they have 40 days, it's an August meet. It always has been. And that's when, you know, if indications are any of what downtown has been like, what I've been told, I don't go out there because I'm up in the press box until
when I left, you were the last one there last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's, but I've been told that downtown, it's almost like middle of August, Travers weekend, every weekend, which, you know, and, you know, you feel bad for the restaurant owners and the tavern owners and the shop owners that last year took such a hit because there wasn't anybody here. And now, thank goodness that they're able to get it back, and you know it's great to see, because this is a town that thrives on having that business, and it thrives on horse racing.
Absolutely.
Where else can you go in the country where people talking about horse racing everywhere you go?
Yeah, that I always say that it's not just in the fences here at the racetrack. The beauty of Saratoga is you're exactly right. You're downtown eating dinner at the next table. They're playing tomorrow's double, or talking about the triple from the fifth race today. And that's what makes it so
special. Or they're talking about how the OTB challenge in the Times Union is going.
I was absolutely going to bring that up. Another year of OTB versus the TU. You, Anthony Affronti, against the OTB handicappers. We have five cycling
five
in. I think it's you and I today. And where are we standing at this point?
Oh, gosh, what are we now? I think we're trying to think. We're 7 days in, is it? Or eight?
Eight. And we were 3.
It might be 4-3-1. I don't know who. I think a fronty won yesterday.
Okay, so you guys are up one then. Yeah, because the day before 3-3-1.
It'll be tied after today, because the way I'm going, I've been El Stinko. I gotta be leading the league in fewest wins. Gotta be. I got like 17 going into today, which is
bad.
I have 27. I
see you
going into today.
I
thought
you're 3-5 today.
Yes. Yesterday was my lowest win total alone. I thought today's card was tough too. And today they're off the turf.
Off the turf. Everything's
That may switch things up. So we'll see what goes there. But
I wouldn't worry about beating me today. You're going to win.
You have the bankroll still going? How's the bankroll going?
I think I've slipped all the way down to 1,700. I mean, then last year I was up like the whole
meet.
The whole meet.
Yeah, no.
But this year it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I took the buyout, and it's from the Times Union, and I don't, maybe there's some kind of voodoo going against me. I don't know what it is, because I didn't, you know, when I left taking the buyout, I usually pick every day all Aqueduct and Belmont.
Oh, okay.
And once I left, we stopped doing picks every day, which, you know, I would have done them, but they didn't want to do it, so maybe I'm rusty.
That counts.
All
it takes is a good one. I did the bankroll on my website, Equidaily, and I did a nice little triple yesterday. I'm in the red, though. I'm 1,950 or something.
And how much
like
did you start out with?
2,000.
Yeah. Well, that's okay.
No, I'm perfectly happy with it. Like I say, I hit a nice little triple yesterday that juiced it up a little bit. You mentioned you took the buyout. You had announced that a little bit earlier, going back a few months. So you're doing horse racing now for the Times Union, and that took you to the Triple Crown. And I'll just fold in the people coming back at Saratoga. Seems like maybe it's been a nice progression. There were fans back Churchill. I think a little less at Pimlico for Preakness,
right.
And then we get up to Saratoga, and really, it was a month or so ago that the rules kind of opened things up pretty much completely up here. So we'll lay back. Going through your visits to Churchill, Pimlico, and now being back up here at Saratoga, how we kind of are moving closer and closer to normal.
I mean, I think the attendance at Derby was 51,000. It was capped at Pimlico for 10, and I'm trying to remember what it was at Belmont. They capped it there too, maybe 13. I could be wrong on that, but you know, just having people in these places was huge.
Yeah,
and now up here, It's like 2020 never happened, and it's just great just seeing people coming in, and you know, it's, I mean, I've seen it in the mornings. You just see all kinds of people out here, and over on the other side watching the morning workouts and the breakfasts, and you know, it's just a breath of fresh air that the country needed, and the fact that we can do it up here is just fantastic.
You are the hardest working guy up in the press box. I said it when I left last night. You were the last guy in there, but you're also buzzing around, as you say, normally on the golf cart. So talk a little bit about anything that popped up over the past few days when you visited some of the barns in the morning. You and I were talking before we went on the air. I think one of the news stories that caught everybody's attention over the past few days was Ken McPeak aiming Swiss skydiver to face the boys.
Right. I mean, that's because the quarantine knocked. She was supposed to run today in the Shuvi. I mean, that was going to be her springboard to the personal ensign. But when the quarantine hit, when the equine herpes virus hit, the barn over there, and it wasn't one of Kenny's horses, it was a filly trained by Jorge Abreu, but he was in the same barn. Yeah. So all the horses there under quarantine, they can't run for a 21-day quarantine. It started on July 11th, so you can't run in the Shuvi. I mean, and so, and Kenny had what he thought was a pretty good stable of horses that running in some big races up here, but you know, now he had to readjust. So Swiss Skydiver, instead of going to the Shuvi, is now going to run in the Whitney, which spices that race up a lot. Swiss Skydiver hasn't had the greatest springs because the Apple Blossom she didn't run great in. Then she was going to run in the Mother Goose and got sick. So, but Kenny says that she's doing great. And she worked yesterday over on the Oklahoma at their new training hours because they got to train after everybody else because they can't be out in the general horse population. So, and I talked to Peter Callahan, the owner, the other day, and he's down in Florida, and he's all excited about, you know, because this horse, she's run against the boys before. Yeah, yeah. She won the Preakness last year. She was second in the Bluegrass. I mean, you know, she's got to contend with someone like Maxfield in the Whitney, and it's certainly not going to be easy, but, you know, it's going to make the race so much more interesting. So it'll spice it up. And, you know, it's Saratoga. Who knows what will happen? And she's just a neat horse to be around. And I can't wait for the Whitney. It's going to be something special.
She ran so well up here last year.
Well, in the Alabama, sure.
She likes the track. Any workouts to note? Essential Quality's been on the track. King Fury, I guess, worked good.
He might run on the grass as his prep for the Travers.
Ah,
he might. Am I saying the Saratoga Derby? Maybe. Am I hearing that?
Oh, that.
Am I hearing
that?
That
would be interesting.
So I'm hearing that, and I was over visiting with the old man of the backstretch, Whitmore. You know, last year's Breeders' Cup Sprint champion. He's 8 years old now, feisty as ever. I mean, he's not a horse that you're gonna, you know, go up and cuddle with. He's tough, but he's running in Vanderbilt next Saturday, same day as the Jim Dandy, and I dare say there might be people that are more interested in watching Whitmore run than the Jim Dandy, because who doesn't want to cheer for the senior citizen? I mean, this is the year of the senior citizen in sports. Tom Brady and the Super Bowl, Mickelson and the golf, you know, it's just a great story, and Whitmore still can do it. His trainer, Ron Moquette, because I don't know if you know this, but Whitmore's named for a high school basketball teammate of Ron Moquette. They played together in high school, and the guy named Wilbur Whitmore. That's why Whitmore's name.
And he is a fan favorite. I know when he runs down in Oaklawn, when I talk to the Oaklawn people on those weekends, he certainly attracts a lot of attention. Tim, got to wrap it up. We certainly appreciate the visit. Looking forward to, I was going to pull you in like halfway during the meet so we would have a little bit of a real record between OTB and
Well, I'm glad you pulled us in now. We're still close because the way I'm going, it's going to be dismal by the time
we're... It's actually been pretty good the last, I want to say, 3 or 4 years at least. It's really come down to the last few days.
Right. I think last year we had you guys measure for the most part. But I really think that you guys are the favorites this year. I mean, John Signor and his crew are pulling out all the stops. I think John must have had a meeting with you guys and said, this is our year.
And that we have the meeting every year. We're always ready to go.
But it's a lot of fun to do
that. Yeah, if people pick up the hard copy of the Times Union, if you come up to the track, it's for sale at places outside and around the track.
But only a buck. Only a buck.
Ah, nice. And you can keep track of... the head-to-head matchup. We have some charity bets in there as well. We have a little grid and get all of Tim's selections also and follow the bankroll. Always a lot of fun. But, Tim, we appreciate the visit this morning.
Thanks for having me, Seth.
Tim Wilkin from the Albany Times-Union. We'll take our last break. We'll come back and wrap it up for this morning. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Loose on the Lead on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrow here live, and we were joined earlier by my co-host Steve Bick. He's down at Colonial Downs for a little remote radio broadcast. You can catch him from Colonial on Sirius XM tomorrow if you'd like to do that. But we appreciate Steve stopping by via Zoom, top of the show. Appreciate the visit by Tim Wilkin a couple of minutes ago. It's always fun to follow OTB versus the Times Union all season long. Pick up the hard copy of the TU to do that, and also appreciate Jim Ryerson stopping by. Miss Marissa, who was just really convincing a couple of weeks ago in the Dell Cap, and it's going to be fun to see her come back up here in the personal ensign. So again, thanks to all the guests this morning here on Loose on the Lead. Once again, a reminder, if you want to come up to the track, you can see the sun is coming out. I think we're going to have a really, really nice day here today. Unfortunately, we're off the turf, but we do have a pick six carry over $257,000 up for grabs in the pick six. Keep that in mind. Also, every Thursday and Sunday, the low rollers contest over on the front side. As I say, I haven't been able to play. I really like to take my shot at the low rollers. In the first couple of days that it was run, I just was too busy running around. But maybe today I'll take my little pop at the low rollers again over on the front side every Thursday and Sunday up here. As far as the Capital OTB promotions today, there's the $100 show pool. We have a show parlay for the bankroll team. I think you still have an opportunity to get on the team. Check out the website for more information, capitalotb.com. Pick four and a match bet promotion also today happening at the Clubhouse Racebook. So keep that in mind if you want to make the Racebook your option for watching the races. You have a couple of fun events down there as well. And once again, the syndicate throughout the meet will be opening up. The Saturday syndicate opens up on Sundays. For $50, you get into a big $1,500 pick ticket. You get to suggest horses to include on the ticket. A lot of fun on the Saturdays throughout the meet. The Saratoga Syndicate, and they open on Sundays. First come, first serve. So if you're interested, check out the website for more information, capitalotv.com. Seth Merrow for Loose on the Lead. Happy you joined us. Hope you have a great afternoon. Hope you cash some tickets, and we will be back in for more here on the morning programming on Capital OTV starting on Wednesday. Don't forget Thoroughbred Racing available tonight here on the network. But again, as far as the morning programming, we'll see you when racing continues on Wednesday.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.